We want to focus on children and the importance of, pardon me, children in the work of the Lord. If you were to think about the role of children in society, so oftentimes we don't give them the kind of credit maybe we should. We focus on the accomplishments of adults, and then occasionally we'll see or we'll hear of a child that has some extraordinary ability, and we'll highlight that and we'll point that out. But beyond that, children, they have their place, right? You heard that when you were growing up? You got your place? How many of you know this morning that God not only loves children, but God has used children to do great things for his purposes? And we have some children here today, and I want every child that's here today to understand that God has something special for your life. You may not understand it, you may not see it, you may not know what it is, but every child here this morning, every young person, every child, you have something special in store for you as you serve God. Now, I'm going to just speak just for a few moments this morning because I want you to take the time to have some fellowship here today because it's Children's Day. So my intent is not to be real lengthy. And you know, sometimes we have a purpose in mind and we don't always follow through, but I'm going to try to follow through on that today, okay? I'll do my best. You pray for me. All right. I want to just share with you a few thoughts on this subject. God does the extraordinary in the lives of children who dedicate themselves to his service. As a child, if you will seek God with your whole heart, God can do some extraordinary things in your life as a child. Now, when we think of this, if I were to ask you, can you think of some biblical examples? Oftentimes, people think of David. You know King David when he was a young man? I mean, there are some incredible things that we read in the Word of God. Do you know that probably a lot of the kids you play with during the week, if they don't go to Sunday school and haven't heard the stories, they wouldn't know this. But I'm going to tell you today something perhaps that only you will know. Maybe in your class at school, you'll know this, that David, when he was a boy, a young lad, we don't know exactly how old, we think maybe in his teenage years, perhaps, that he did some extraordinary things. We find it in 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. This is David as a young man. David says to Saul, "Your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, and I went out after him, and I attacked him, and I rescued it from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by his beard, and I struck him, and I killed him." Can you imagine that? A lion or a bear. When I heard that story when I was a kid, I used to think, my word, what in the world happened? Obviously, it wasn't his own strength. Something happened. The Spirit of God must have come on. I don't know if you've ever experienced it. There are times in my life when I felt really, and it was righteous indignation rise up, and it's in those times you will say or do something that you ordinarily wouldn't do when you consider your surroundings and the people there, but it's like in a split second, all of a sudden it's like the Spirit of God hits you about something, and you've had it or whatever, and it's called righteous indignation. You rise up, you say something, or you do something. I believe there are moments like that that happen. Maybe that was the kind of a moment, that righteous indignation moment. And David saw the attacking lion or the bear as something that he wasn't going to harm his flock. Like the good shepherd, he said, I'm not going to have any of this. I'm not going to run off. He went after the lion. He grabbed him, and then he struck him, and he killed the lion as a young man. If I were to tell you that a young person could do that today, you'd say, you're crazy. Well, it actually happened. It happened in the life of David. As a young man, just a young boy, perhaps. We don't know how old he was. We just know that he was able to kill the lion or the bear. And then he goes up, and by the way, this is at the time when Goliath was there. Here's a man that's standing somewhere, I don't know, they estimate upwards of 7 to 9 feet. There's different estimations how tall he was, but he was a big man. And he was taunting the people of God, and nobody would rise up and go out there because he was such a formidable adversary. They were afraid of him, Goliath. And that's the conversation David's having with the king, with Saul at the time. He says, I've killed the lion, I've killed the bear. And he went on to say, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. What a great story. What a great story. God using a young boy to do an extraordinary thing. Well, I want to take you to another passage, though. Instead of talking about David this morning, I really want to talk about another young man. And he was only 8 years old. And we have this recorded in another portion of God's Word. A lot of people, you know, would hear the story of King David's life and say that's exceptional and something that, well, that would never happen for us or that wouldn't happen to my kid. But we're going to take a look at another young man, a child who God used to accomplish great things. His name was Josiah. Josiah. We have a Josiah here in our church. But this is the biblical Josiah, all right? And it's an interesting story. Do you know that I was once a king? I was once a king. And I was about 7 or 8 years old. I was in Springfield, Missouri. I was visiting my grandparents along with my parents, and they were having VBS at the church there that my grandparents attended. And guess what? I got to go to VBS. And guess what they were doing that year? They were doing the life of Josiah. And they were handing out parts. And here I was, the visiting kid from back east. And so they said, let's make him Josiah. So I wound up being Josiah. I didn't know who Josiah was. I heard, you know, but I didn't know a lot about him. I just knew that I was King Josiah. And they put a crown on my head and a robe around me and a scepter and all this, and I just did what they told me to do. And I played the role of a king. I wasn't a real king. I played the role of a king. But it was a lot of fun. You know, I was King Josiah. And that's when I first really learned about Josiah and his exploits and how special he was, how God worked in his life. Just a young boy. You say, well, who was Josiah? The kingdom, there were two kingdoms. There was the kingdom of Israel, the kingdom of Judah. Kingdom of Israel is the northern kingdom, and then the kingdom of Judah was the southern kingdom, and they had kings. Some of them, most of them were bad kings, evil kings, and very few good kings. Actually, Josiah's father was king, so he was, I guess you'd call him a prince. He was the son of a king, but the problem was his father was evil. He did a lot of wicked things, and guess what? They rose up against the people, and they had him killed. They assassinated his father, so his father's killed, and here's young Josiah. And he was next in line, so they made him king. What was he going to do? Well, he had a lot of advisors there to help him during his reign. It says in 2 Kings 22, the first verse, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. He reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. He gives his mother's name as Jedidah, who was the daughter of Adiah and Bozkath. But it says this in verse 2 of 2 Kings 22. He did right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the way of his father David, nor did he turn aside to the right or to the left. Now it says his father David, but what it really means is he walked right in the way of the one we know as King David. You know that little lad David that killed the lion and the bear? He became king, and it says, and he walked right in the path, the righteous path, that was the example given in the life of King David. Well, God uses the faith of a child to do great things. There's a man, his name is Dr. J. Edwin Orr. Some of you older folk might have read some of his writings. He's written a number of books. He was studying revivals of the past. He's written on that. He wrote a book a while back called The Second Evangelical Awakening in Britain. And in this book, he recounted some of the reports, the examples that came in from the great spiritual revival and movement that took place not only in Britain but in various parts of the world in the years 1859 to 1861. You may not realize this, but there were some great revivals that happened, not just in single countries but in various countries, but particularly in Britain. There was a big revival. And he's recounting, reports come in of hey, did you hear what God did here? Did you hear what God did here? Well, one of the reports came in, and he records it in this book. He's telling us what happened. And I'm going to just share that with you now. It was in the town of Coleraine, Northern Ireland. A schoolboy, a little lad, was under so much conviction of sin, just a boy. And he felt terrible about all the naughty things he did and how bad he was, but he had evidently been hearing some things about the revival taking place, and we don't know all the background on what had preceded this, but he was feeling guilty. He's in school, but he couldn't continue in class. He was a mess. You know, he was just a mess. He couldn't think on anything. So the teacher said, I got to send this kid home. There's something wrong with this kid. She said, I'm going to send him home, and picked out another boy in the class to walk him home to make sure he got home safely. Well, it just so happened that this other boy was a Christian. He loved Jesus. Just a lad, but he knew about God. And he had given his life to God. And so they're walking home. And as they're walking home, this other boy that was so upset and so troubled, they saw a vacant house. And so the suggestion was, well, let's go in here, and let's just pray a little bit. So the one boy who was a Christian, he said, let's go, and I'll pray with you. And so they just kind of stopped in their little journey to the boy's house, and they prayed for a little bit of a while. And that was a significant event in his life, because in that prayer time together, that troubled boy gave his heart to Jesus. He became born again. He was so filled with peace and joy, and all of a sudden the darkness and all the sadness and everything that he had and all the trouble that he felt in his heart while he was in school, instead of going home, now some of us, now you know I'm telling the truth, if you had an opportunity to leave and go home, you'd probably continue and go home, right? He didn't do that. He said, I gotta go back and tell him what happened. So he runs back to the school that he had just left. He was so excited, he began to share with his teacher what happened. He says, you know, I'm so happy now. He says, I've accepted Jesus as my Savior. I am so happy. And while he is sharing this with his teacher, one by one, they noticed some of the boys in the class started slipping out of the classroom. They were leaving the classroom. The teacher peeked out the window, and she saw the boys kneeling in prayer out in the schoolyard. She was amazed at this, and this teacher was so convicted that he asked the one who had just been converted, who was sharing his testimony, he said he wanted him to minister to him, share with him what it was like and everything. And so this little boy is ministering to his teacher, leading him to Christ, and eventually the whole school, the buzz went out through the school, and all of a sudden there was a stir through in all the classes, and there, it was so moving that the whole school was affected by what was going on. Kids started praying. Kids started seeking God. It eventually involved not just the students, but the teachers and the administrators, and then people, the parents, they heard something was going on at the school. You know, something's going on at the school. You better get over there quick before you know it. The parents started coming, and they said, all of a sudden, it involved a lot of the parents of the village, and they said, there was a big prayer meeting that ensued at the local school, lasted until 11 o'clock in the evening. It all started. One little boy who knew Jesus, accompanying his friend who was so troubled, worried about sin and what it might mean, share with him the love of Christ. One little spark. It affected the entire school and the community. And that was repeated many times over in various places throughout the world during that time of revival when God was moving. Can God use a child? Oh, yes, God can use a child. Great things can happen. That happened because that young boy responded to the spiritual need of his classmate, prayed with him, and led him to Christ. Well, what was Josiah's legacy? If you read the story of Josiah's legacy, there were many reforms that happened. They had stopped really serving the true God. They had stopped praying to God as we know we should. As a result, they turned to pagan gods. And they turned to gods that were being worshipped by those who didn't really serve the living God. And as a result, they had strayed from the truth. And so Josiah, what he did was when he saw this and he heard that they found a copy of the Word of God, the writings of Moses, he had it read. And then he learned what they ought to be doing. So he reestablished all of the sacrifices and the things that they ought to be doing. There was a great spiritual revival that began to happen under his reign as king. And this is what it says of Josiah. In 2 Kings 23:25, it says, "Before him there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might according to all the law of Moses, nor did any like him arise after him." What an amazing thing. We call that a legacy. Legacy is how do people, what do they think of you after you're dead and gone? You know, eventually we're all going to live a life and then we're going to be gone and then people are going to remember you and they're going to remember things you said and things you did. That's called your legacy. You know, what kind of a legacy are you going to leave? So I know some of you children, you maybe haven't come across that word too often, but that's what it is. It's how people are going to remember you eventually. In the future, how are they going to remember you? And the truth is that we're all of us here today, we're all forming a legacy. The way we live our lives today is going to be part of the legacy that we're going to leave behind. The way we treat people, the things we do, the things we get involved with, the life we've lived for Jesus. We say we're born again, and we're Christians, and we're concerned about the lost, and whether or not we witness, whether or not we do good to others like we're supposed to do, all of that is part of the legacy that we're going to leave one day. One day. You see, you're a child now for the young ones, but the decisions you make today are going to have far-reaching influence on the events of your future, and that will become your legacy. That is the way people will remember your life. I'm going to ask you this morning, what will that be? In other words, as children, you have an opportunity to do things in such a way that you're going to please Jesus. And one day, when people remember you, they're going to have fond thoughts. And they're going to say, man, I remember growing up. That little girl, she loved God. She was in church raising her hands, and she'd be out there all there praying, and she'd pray for her friends, and she led her classmates to Christ. I remember that little boy. He was involved in the Royal Rangers. He was bringing his friends out, and he would tell them about Jesus, and he didn't care what anybody thought at school. He knew it was more important to serve God. I remember him when he grew up. What a fine young man. See, what are people going to say about the life you're about to live in the future? What kind of a legacy? How's it going to work out? Children, hear me this morning. It pays to serve God. I don't know how God's going to use you, but there might be somebody here, and God wants to use you to lead a lot of people to Christ. You might be a child here today, and God wants you to be a missionary someday, to go to a far-off place and tell some people that have never heard about Jesus for the first time to share with them the message of Christ. You might grow up to be a professional in some great profession here in the United States. You might grow up to be a lawyer or a teacher or a doctor, or you might be involved in construction, or you might be involved in some kind of social work. Who knows what it is? But whatever it is, you can do it for God's sake, for the sake of Christ. And you can leave a legacy. That is, you can leave fond memories of the life you lived. You make that decision. And you know, for the adults here, that's the same for us too. Some of us here today might have some regrets. You know, maybe we didn't hear about Jesus until later in our life. Maybe no one shared with us the truth of the gospel. We heard about the Bible and we heard about going to church, but it didn't all come together for us. You know, we didn't put it all together until one day, all of a sudden, we felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit saying, hey, listen, you may be religious in one sense, but you really don't know God in another. You haven't made it personal. You haven't personally committed your life to Jesus Christ. Maybe that could be said of some of us here today. And so for much of our lives, we've not really lived it for God the way we should. Maybe some of us would admit and say, you know, we've really messed up. I really messed up, and I don't know. But you know, today could be a new day. We could start now. For the children, they have a life to live. Think of all the years they could give for Jesus Christ and his kingdom. But we can start somewhere. It doesn't make any difference how old you are. Tomorrow can be a brand new day. In fact, today can be a brand new day for you. Simply by saying yes to the Lord and say, you know, I want my experience with God to be more than just religion. I want it to be a relationship. What is it? Is it religion or is it a relationship? If it's a relationship, that's far more personal. It's not just going through the routine, going through the motions, going to church or doing certain things that they tell us we ought to do to be spiritual or religious. It's more than that. It's saying yes to Jesus. It's hearing the voice of God speak to us and say, you need to do something about your life, and you don't know quite what it is, and then you hear the word of God that says you need to ask Jesus to come into your life, and then it's just saying, yes, Jesus, come into my life. I submit my will to yours. I ask you, Lord, to come into my heart, into my life. I want you to be my Savior. I want the peace that only you can give. You see, that's submission. And so many people allow pride to keep them from God. Don't allow that to happen in your life. Don't allow pride to keep you from God's best. Heaven awaits you when you submit to the Lord and say, Jesus, come into my life. Be my Savior. And so, children, I would say to you today, you can have a future, a wonderful future, if you make that determination, you purpose in your heart and say, I'm going to live for Jesus no matter what. I don't care what my friends say. And when they want to do some things that I know are bad, some things that are questionable, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to obey my parents, my mom, my dad. I know they love me. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And if you will do that, and you will live your life that way, God will bless your life, and God can use you to do extraordinary things. Do you want to live on the ordinary level, the ordinary plane, or do you want to live the extraordinary life with God? I hope you choose, I want to live an extraordinary life. I don't want to just live an ordinary, mundane, you know, boring life. I want to live an extraordinary life. And that happens when you give your heart to Jesus. I want you all to bow your heads in prayer right now. We've been focusing on the children this morning, the importance of giving our lives to God and how God can take our lives, even at a young age. He can take our lives and he can do something significant. And the children here, they have sung a song. Many of them learned it in Sunday school. And many of the adults here this morning recall it growing up. It's a simple song, but we sing it because we feel the reality of it. Jesus loves me, this I know. How do we know? Because the Bible tells us. We belong to him. And if we commit our lives to him, if we respond to the love of God, you see, God will not make you. He won't force you to be a good person. God doesn't force anybody. We sometimes blame God for things and say, well, God, why didn't God do this? Why didn't God do that? Well, why didn't people turn to God when they should have? Instead of asking God to get them out of a jam all the time, why don't they just live their lives the way God intended to begin with? And then they wouldn't look to him in desperation in an hour of need. God wants you to live your life now for him, not wait till some calamity comes your way. God wants you to say yes to him. We're going to sing that little chorus together in a moment. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones, to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. And that's what you need to be reminded of today. Don't look to your ability. Some people say, well, I'm such a bad person, or I don't know if I can follow through. Listen, don't you worry about that. You just come to God and let God take over. Let him become your strength. And those areas that you feel are insufficient in your life, you don't have enough ability, listen, commit it to the Lord. Let God be the one that'll come and help you in those areas. Don't try to do it yourself. You can't save yourself. There's nothing you can do to force your way into God's heaven. You're not going to get in by good works or anything else. It's only by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you need his grace in your life. And that can happen in a moment. You just say, Jesus, I want you in my life. I give up trying to do it all myself. I'm not going to be a phony and claim to be something I'm not really. I need you to help me to be what you want me to be. Yes, Jesus loves me. Friend, Jesus loves you this morning. And he wants you to give your life to him. You can do that. As we sing this chorus, let it prepare our hearts for receiving a blessing from the Lord. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me. Now, if you believe that, if you really believe that the Lord loves you today, why not respond to that love? Don't turn your back on God. Why not just seal it this morning, today, your relationship with God, and say, Lord, I just want to reaffirm my relationship with you. I just want you to know how much I really do love you, and I do really care about the life I'm living. Jesus, I want you in my life, every part of my life. I want to feel your presence, Lord. I want to know that I'm walking with you every day. Jesus, come. Take away the sin and the indiscretions of my life. And fill my heart with an awareness of your presence. I love you, Lord. Yes, Jesus loves me. Oh, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. You believe that this morning? I believe it. Amen. I know God loves me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I love God. Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me this morning? Praise God. Praise the Lord. No one should leave here this morning not knowing that God loves them. We can feel his presence here in this place today. And whenever you feel the presence of God like this, it's a reminder that God really is alive. There are some people out there saying, well, there is no God, or he's not alive, or he doesn't care, all that. We know that that's not true. Because every time we come to the house of God, there's something we feel that's really special. And what we feel is the presence of Jesus. And that's proof positive that God's alive, he cares, and God loves us. Remember, my friend, God loves you. And there's something very special that awaits you this week if you'll but be alert to it. Say, God, show me what you want me to do this week. And then let God use you for the sake of his kingdom. Father, I thank you for your people. We're gathered here on this Children's Day. We love the children. We know that you love them. You have a special plan for their lives. And you have a plan for all our lives, Lord, as we look to you. And so I ask for your divine blessing, Lord, to unfold in every life here today. As we prepare to leave this place, may we go knowing that God does truly love us. And may we commit ourselves afresh and anew to you and to your service. Now may the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with each one. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great Lord's Day.